טוב, we have to bar chamishi. Had the rocha from Rabbi Yeruchim had to write a letter. Number one, they know the mechazeru the guru and the mitzvahs esrik. They know the mechazeru is now worse than the esrik, and it's the vino love who's not the part of the mitzvahs. People invest a lot of money in having a beautiful esrik. Why? Because they want to do the mitzvah in the most beautiful fashion. So he's talking about writing a letter, but if you write it on a crumpled piece of paper, you scribble it, you're being mazal on the person. If you have to write a letter to a king or president, you write it in a mechubadik fashion. Good paper, good ink, write it as clear as possible. It should be written in a good language, not just scribbled out. This is no gain to writing a letter, but it's not no gain to writing a letter, it's no gain to everything. The way you relate to people is something that's just because you have time for them, and that's the way you relate to them. Or you make it your business as much as you can. Every person you come in contact, give them a little sumat leis. People going through life so involved in themselves, they don't have time. Pay attention to those around you. You should know that everybody that's around you, about in the home itself, even if you're in a shul, or wherever you are, you're not by yourself. You have the ability to be mechabed every single person around you. It doesn't take much time. It's a matter of paying attention. Walk by, give a smile, say a nice word. Sometimes a person thinks he's a big oyved Hashem, so he's thinking about all kinds of lofty things. And he's above the shul sarabim, because it makes everybody feel that they don't have time for them, they don't care about them, and they don't mean anything to them. The amount of people left and right. You see all the great leaders of Klal Yisrael, it's something unique. Klal Yisrael. For example, if you go to the president, what do you call him? Chief professors. What do they call him?
Dean.
Whatever his name is. Of the big university. The guy walks up to him, a child walks up to him. He doesn't know what to do with him before. Somebody intelligent, influential, then he gives you some time. Very wasted time on simple people. By the daily shows, every Jew comes in the Dalet Amos, relates to them as a human being that's happy to see, interested in hearing what they have to say. From adults, influential people, to even children. Or if Stamen used to give bechinas to children, when he was 100 years old, or you're leading, Klal Yisrael, busy person. But he knew that if he gives this to bechina, it uplifts them. They feel that, oh, the Klal Yisrael had time for me, listen to me. I said an answer, and he heard it. Wherever. So it's not a matter of spending every second of your time on other people, but you're there anyway. Make an effort to try to show people that you appreciate them. Like I said, sometimes it's just by saying a nice good morning. I know a very chosh of a Jew who told me, when I came to Yisrael, this is many years ago, 60 years ago, no, 60 years ago. Yeah, maybe 60 years ago. Whatever the number is. And there weren't so many people visiting those days from Chutz Laaretz. And then a lot of the Israelis just went on with their things. He said that after he was here for a period of time, he think I'm going back. But nobody even noticing him. So one day somebody came up to him and gave him a nice warm shalom aleichem. That was one thing, and it was mechazek him tremendously. He stayed on it. He was very successful in his avodas Hashem, being mashpia on other people. You never know how, especially with youth, boys visiting from the yeshiva, whatever it is. Don't have to be embarrassed. Just say nice shalom aleichem. Makes him feel that he's appreciated. He's worth something. God, b'chol to our own children, how important it is, how sensitive they are. How we relate to them. And the primary way we relate to them is to respect. Baruch Hashem, the good kids, even they get into trouble and they do that. Sometimes it's challenging, but the main thing we do is help them recognize that they're worth something. That's the way we relate to them. The parent is over engrossed in his things. He's not paying much time or attention to the children. The child feels that he's worthless. The immortal time. This is a big chorban of the iPhone, social media, and all this stuff. The people that have it are so involved in it. They don't realize they don't have time for their own kids. A kid feels worthless. There's somebody that had one, somebody in the community over here. He's a lawyer by profession, so he thought he needs it. He can't manage without it. So he picked this at the school, which they wanted him to stop it. They stopped it. He got one of these old-fashioned cell phones. He told me it changed his entire life. Suddenly had so much more time for his own children. And he thought he doesn't have free time. I have to go to work? Okay, he goes to the computer when he has working hours. He's not 24/7 connected to the 24/6 or whatever it is, connected to all these things. So that's the basic. So once again, point number one is no gate to writing a letter, that if you do something for the other person, do it in a fashion that shows that you respect the person. Don't just write a letter, write a nice piece of paper, good ink, and nice handwriting. It's shown that the mechavanim is worth your time. Discuss from that it's not only when writing a letter, it's any interaction. We don't realize tremendous amount of chasson that you do to people, chizukim you do to people just by making a certain effort, and every person is valuable. There's a Jew that was nifted this week. His name is Weisfish, an Israeli Yerushalayim, an old Yerushalayim, he's 90 years old. He's an interesting Jew. He was brought up in like a Gula Meishon, that's all that exists in those days. And when he built new neighborhoods all the way in the western part of Yerushalayim, near Hadassah, Ir Ganim, Kiryat Menachem, there's a lot of Olim that were coming there. There's no Yiddishkeit there. And some old tzaddik said, we have to do something. This person is he's also a Talmud Chacham, but he was a very nice person. Said, you got to go out there. And he opened up shop over there in this area, which is not very, very, very little religious things. And with that type of nature, he woke up to people, in the Shalalech, and in the kind of many families. And now these families, the children, grandchildren, he was able to build it. Because he wasn't just involved in himself, he was caring about other people. His son told me, Maisa Noya, he once, many guys had a shul over there. Whoever we walk into the shul, we give a shalom. So somebody who asked who are you, he says he's visiting from Iran many years ago. So he just spoke a little bit. He said, how are you religious wise? Somehow they got the Taras and the Shepacha. You have a mikveh there? He says, no, we don't have a mikveh. Why not? Because there's two kilos that are so busy fighting with each other, they don't have time to build anything worthwhile. So he was very shaken up. The rub was very shaken up. And he told him, and in the course of the conversation, it all came up to this person from assisting, he doesn't have any children. So the Rav told him, if I find a way to make peace in your kehila, he promised to build a mikveh, make sure the build is taken care of. So the guy told him, if you promise that I'll have children, I'll promise to make a young Rav. He has nothing to lose, I guess. So he said, okay, I promise. Promise you'll have children. Now, what can I do? I have to do the maximum establishment that these people should. So how's he going to make sure of that? This was 2 days before Yom Kippur. He called at night. Night before Yom Kippur. He called up Rav Zadie Yosef. Who else can make shalom? And Zadie Yosef said, he's busy. Another is because he went down to Zadie Yosef and explained the whole story. Zadie said, you're right. You have to do this. So he called him this guy. The guy told him all the machlokesim over there. He wrote a very sharp letter to them. Had to work things out. At the end of the thing, he said, go back to your kehillah and tell them this, I'm demanding that they follow these rules. Okay, and the guy said to Rabbi Yosef, you know, I don't have children. This Rabbi Weiss promised me that I'm going to have children. What do you say about that? So Rabbi Yosef said, oh, Weiss, if he promised you children, you'll have children. So you should know, if he's promising you to have children, I'm also going to promise you. the end of the story was, they made peace, they built a mikveh, and he has 4 children. He gets 2 from Rabbi Weiss and 2 from Rabbi Weiss. 3 from one and 1 from another. Anyway, but it all started from being a nice person and seeing somebody visiting and just walking off and asking a question. Kamavadi was much more than that, because when he heard something was not going well, he really went out of his way to make sure that he could help them. I'm just saying the first step itself is something that was very, very important. As part of being mechab the person, people come in, you know, you have to think about them. A person who walks into shul, he never saw him before. Sometimes it's just a guest of somebody. Sometimes it's somebody just moved to Eretz Yisrael. You know what the guy's going through? It's a big upheaval. It's all kind of complications. And he walks into shul, nobody looks at him. It's terrible. But people come up to him and say, Shalom Aleichem, how you doing? And this is a big chizik. Yeah. Okay. So that was point number one. If you're doing something, we're talking about writing a letter, like we said, anything, do it in a way, hiddenness, not just to the Yates' eye, do it in a way that's going to really make the other person feel that you appreciate it. Number two, you should try to do the maximum toiv v'chesed you can do to the other person. He's writing this person a certain criticism that in your letter I don't see that at all. Always, once again, we're limited what we could do, but at least show, you know, try to do what we can. This mice and this guy really went out of his way, but okay, we're not expected to do those types of big mice. And then, or sometimes a person is asking for help with different things. Can you just take down his name and say, I'll be misfiled? Whatever. Have your big thing. I'll call him his kriches. Rebel Yerapian used to say, the person's face is not private property. To Rishus the Rabbi. The same kind of thing. It was one of the Talmud Musa, I forgot which one it was. They saw him from the last generation. They saw him standing in front of the mirror and smiling to himself. Surprised, what's he doing? He said that. Says he means the capital of Israel, save upon the office. I'm working on my smile to make sure that it's as good as can be. I think I told you once, I knew somebody that was 2 years as a bocher, he was Rabbi Chazon Ish. So all the pictures of Chazon Ish looks like a very serious face. So he said those pictures of him when he was a tzaddik, but when he's with people, he was always smiling to them and making them very pleasant. Like every gadol has its flavor, but even the Chazon Ish was known to be. Okay, so that's number two. To see and maximize the chesed we could do the person. Number three, Tzrich Lasa Hakol B'Kavon Ratzuya Zesemeres Nachshav B'Kivun Otot Chaverot. When you're involved with something for somebody else, don't just do it because you want to yoyse zayin, make him feel good or calm your bad conscience. If you're doing it, do it as shleimus as much as possible. So what we're speaking about now is the concept of being mechaber to another person. And when we said, when we're talking about kovod, it's not flattery. Flattery means I do not hold anything of the person, but I treat him with kovod so I should be able to get something out of it. So an influential, a wealthy, powerful person comes to everybody, wow, shalom, how are you, blah, blah, blah. None of them really cares about this person. They're not trying to mechaber him, they're just trying to get something out of him. And that's not what we're talking about, it's not kovod. Kovod is the recognition that valuing another Jew, another person, is something essential to my avodas Hashem. It shows that I appreciate what another person is. I appreciate the value that he has, the neshama that he has. This Rabbi Reichish, he was called to many gedolim. One of the gedolim closer was the Ozer of the Rebbe. I never heard of it. It was a whole bunch of stuff. Ishdos. He was one of Revolt Health, he was one of his rabbis. He was in Tel Aviv, Swedish rabbi. He was a bulky Bacola Teruku, Nigla, Nista, and everything. Tremendous, tremendous time of hope. So he said, what he got from this rabbi was the value of every Jew. That's what he got from. The value of every Jew, to realize every Jew has something very special within him. Look externally at a Jew, who's he, what's he? No, every Jew is very, very special. It's true, we're all special. Yeah, every Jew has an neshama, which is the highest spiritual entity in the universe. Nishma Zichra. He's not aware of it yet. Okay, something if we appreciate them and we respect them, we could also, some of the time, maybe help them also recognize their own value. So, grieving COVID is also shy for the parasha of Chesed. I'm giving that person something which is very important for him. Recognition that he's worth something. Come upon, the more I can pay attention and the more I can specify the different nakudas that he's worth and he's valuable. That's one of the tragedies of our day and age, that the average person does not value himself. He doesn't feel that he's really worth anything. There's so many people out there, so many people that are bigger than me and stronger than me and smarter than me. So who am I? Baruch Hashem comes from the fact that we have a rebuy. You know, like I know father of a friend of mine, he must be about 90 now. He told me, I remember when I was a bocher, learning cheder. I said, oh, Gevaldi, you learn cheder? How many people learn cheder? And I went to the next stage, Shiriktan, and said, every stage I felt like the greatest. Everyone would say, oh, wow, it's amazing, you're doing this. You know, how many handful of people doing it? Now, he wants to go to cheder, and they say, no, we have too many kids, we're not room for you. Then the family steps his way into the cheder. It's the next stage. Nakamala has to fight to get it. So after a while, he starts feeling, who am I? What am I? It was a little exaggeration, but it's not so far off. Yeah. That's the biggest threat we can do to those around us to make them feel that, realize that each one is essential. There's no Jew that's extra. That's not necessary. And that void is Hashem of every Jew also. One bracha, one tefillah, one hagosha, a bit of a chaveru, any Jew does is irreplaceable. Something that he can do that nobody else can do for him. A different outlook on what a human being is.
In China, you have a few billion people, so you're walking down the street, one drops dead, they just keep on walking. Nothing happened. They say that's what happens. Can't get people in the middle of the street, just everyone keeps on going, they don't even pay attention to it. It's another number. A billion is 11. One out of a billion is nothing. By us, we say each Jew is the only moment. We have to feel crappy ourselves. That's, we said, to mechavad others starts from my own. Is a mechubad and mechavad is a billion. My ability to mechavad others starts from the fact that really I have value. And we all have tremendous value. We all yikorim b'inei Hashem. Bonim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And with that, try to help those around us. Once again, if it's just, like I said, giving a smile, saying good morning, it's also good. Ask a question, how are you doing? Interaction. If we do more than that, not to Emanoi. And what we do should be in a fashion that we really appreciate the other person and feel it's good for us to help them out. Not just, I remember I was involved in many different educational institutions. And I noticed in one place, they're both two different places. They're working with kids that are weaker, and both are very devoted to the Talmud. The one's more successful than the other. And I don't know if I'm right or am I wrong, but the point is definitely right. Yes, you have one person, they're totally devoted, but they look at the Talmudim as being, Talmudim's a third-rate Talmudim, but with what they have, we're going to build them up and give them a desire to learn everything else. But deep down, there's a certain message, even if that may have become more, won't even happen on the surface, that he's a second-rate material. Or there's a hospital, we have to fix him up. And the other one, the same type of kids, maybe even less than the first one, the one in charge, he looked at every kid, wow, this is a gem, it's unbelievable. He was so talented, so much courage. It's true that a lot of people didn't realize his courage because of different things. And there are good reasons to think that way. But this person was able to see the true good in those kids. And a much more powerful effect. They didn't just feel that the nether effect could be pushed, but the method, the good quality material. Okay, like we said, it's all Bechina Roshi Prokim. The ideas we mentioned today, things that we have to think about, apply, how we can do it in a sustainable fashion, in a positive fashion, towards ourselves, towards our family, towards those around us. It doesn't mean changing a whole life around and spending 10 hours a day thinking how to be good to other people. It means just making more effort as we're interacting anyway, and we're coming into contact with different people anyway, to do it in this way as a hidden mitzvah. Really give the time and effort and the thought for us to appreciate them and to help them realize that they appreciate it and appreciate themselves. So that's all my difference.